Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks for tuning in. We've got a great program ahead of us this hour, and maybe depending on where you are, what you have going on, you want to just grab a cup of coffee or tea or something and just kind of cozy up to the radio and have a good conversation with us. We're going to find out, Ted, today, the key to everything.
Finally. Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Good.
And unlike Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Douglas Adams, the answer is not 42.
Okay. So, deep thought, right?
Just get that out of the way right now. But looking forward to a conversation. When I first picked up the book, of course, the title, The Key to Everything, kind of grabs your attention.
Yeah.
And, I think everybody's interested, as the subtitle says, Unlocking the Secret to Why Some People Succeed and Others Don't. And so we'll learn about that today. And a spoiler alert, we're probably going to give the answer right away, right at the front. So,
okay.
You know, if you can.
I have an idea, but I'll wait to hear.
Okay. All right. Well, let me introduce my guest today. He was on with Susie Larson of Live the Promise not too long ago, and we're just honored to have him on with us in Connecting Faith. Matt Keller is a pastor, author, speaker, and leadership coach. His insight and organizational and personal leadership help business, nonprofits, and churches take their organizations to the next level. And he's been doing that for a couple of decades. And he's pastoring in Fort Myers. The church in Fort Myers, he's founder and leader of Next Level Church, one of the fastest growing churches in America. He has written some great books as well. And I think it was, I'm blanking on the title, Underdogs, right? Matt, wasn't that the previous book?
Yeah, it sure was. God of the Underdogs, yes.
That came out
a couple years ago.
Yeah, and we're excited about the new one, The Key to Everything. And so let's start with that. Welcome, first of all. The title of the book is kind of provocative, but the key that we're going to talk about really is life-changing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think it is. It's a privilege to be here, Neil, and really appreciate everything you guys do for the Twin Cities. I have several friends up in the Twin Cities, and of course, I am a Winter Twins fan because of the fact that they spring train down here in the month of March. They literally spring train about 2 miles from my house and about 2 miles from one of our campuses, our church, Next Level Church. So it is great to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, well, we can, once we kind of, solve the key to everything, maybe we can get on to talking about, winter baseball. It's not that far away, right? February, pitchers and catchers. And maybe we can just arrange to come down and do the interview in person next time. But
I am certainly open to that, and I've got lots of your neighbors down here already.
I'm sure
have made their way to Fort Myers. But The Key to Everything just came out a little less than a month ago, and that is my new book. And of course, with a title like The Key to Everything, everybody wants to know. First question I am always asking interviews or whenever I speak is, okay, Hotshot, well, what is it? If you really think you know what the key to everything is, what is it? And the answer to that is, as you said, we're not gonna hide the punchline here any longer than we have to. The answer is teachability. Teachability, the willingness to be teachable in our life. That I really, truly do believe that is the key to everything. And here's what I know. The book is written for every single person who wants to be more successful, if you will. Again, however we define success, who wants to get better in any area of their life. That's who the book, The Key to Everything, is written for, because we all have areas of our life that we want to see get better. And I believe the key to that is teachability.
I'm sure we can all relate to the subtitle and maybe bosses or like you as a pastor or a leader, a trainer, or even parents. We wonder once in a while why. I mean, why do some people succeed and others don't? So talk about how you maybe had to drill down. Did you have to drill down a long ways to consider teachability as the difference maker?
Yeah, teachability, I mentioned this in the introduction of the book. Teachability for me, that desire to learn, so to speak, has kind of been a lifetime trait for me, that is something that defines our organization. The pastor, the church that I pastor, Next Level Church here in Southwest Florida. And so everything we do in terms of leadership development, everything we do with coaching other pastors and churches, working in businesses and coaching and consulting them is, it really comes down to, are you teachable? And, you know, so that's kind of been a life theme for me. And it's only been, though, in the last 5, 6, 7 years, really, that I've been able to really isolate and say, that's the key. And the way we define teachability is with two words. I talk about a desire to learn multiplied by our willingness to change. Desire to learn times willingness to change equals our index, if you will, of teachability. In other words, how teachable we're going to be in any area of our life. So I'll use myself as an illustration. You know, that if I, as a public speaker, if I have a desire to learn to get better as a communicator, but my willingness to change is not very good. So let's say my desire is a 6 out of 10, but my willingness to change is a 2 out of 10. Well, then my teachability is only going to be a 12, 6 times 2 on a scale of 100. Well, I'm not going to be very successful then in getting better as a public speaker. But if my desire goes up to an 8 and my willingness to change goes up to an 8, now all of a sudden my 12 becomes a 64. Well, that person is going to be way more successful at being a public speaker and getting better over the long term than someone whose teachability is only a 12.
And just actually having that grid and doing it as an exercise, I think in itself would be pretty helpful, just to have an honest evaluation. Say, well, how really am I, how willing am I to change, and where are my desires? And that's just a good practical way to do it, it seems like.
It sure is. And you know, honestly, it applies to every area of our life. You know, I would recommend any one of your listeners today doing that. Pick an area that you want to get better in. You know, maybe it's eating healthy. Maybe it's in your marriage, communication. You know, maybe it's in a relationship with a child. Maybe it's at work, you know, on your sales team. I want to get better at closing deals. You know, whatever the case may be, I want to get better as a leader. If you're a CEO or department manager, you know, or a team leader. And to take it and then say, what's my desire to learn and what's my willingness to change? And give yourself a number, and then that'll tell you how teachable you truly are. And it tells you what you need to do to get better.
You know, are people born with the trait, the teachability? And so if we don't come by it naturally, are we going to be limited in maybe all that we can accomplish?
I think there are some people who are born with more of a propensity to be a learner. If you study any of Marcus Buckingham's stuff, he's the guy who kind of created the whole strengths and now go discover your strengths, that whole deal, strengths finders. You know, he talks about that. There's kind of a wild card, if you will, strength that they talk about in the strengths finders material with Marcus Buckingham and Tom Rath, I think is his name. And they basically say that a learner is a wild card strength. So I think it's true that some of us are born with kind of that learner strength of, man, I feel strong when I'm learning something new, and I'm reading something new, and I'm discovering something new. Personally, that's me. I have a learner strength, and so I love to learn. So I think some people are born with more of a propensity for teachability, but here's the good news. All of us can get better and be more teachable. All of us can increase our desire to learn, and we can all increase our willingness to change. So I think we're not stuck. We're not going to cap out and go, well, that's not who I am. That's not how God made me. Well, I think that's an excuse. I think every one of us can be as teachable as we want to be.
You know, maybe kind of a sidebar, but you talked about you feel strong when you are learning. That's an interesting way to look at our, we understand the idea of, you know, having strengths and gifts and abilities, but to use that phrase about feeling strong, say a little bit more about that.
Well, that's definitely, again, that's a Marcus Buckingham thing, and I would encourage any of your listeners who want to learn about that, there you go, have a desire to learn, about your strength zone. You know, what Buckingham says is no one can tell you what your strengths are. Only you can define that. And his most simple definition of a strength is not something you're good at. I may be good at cleaning off email and getting my email inbox to zero, but if at the end of it I want to, you know, crawl into bed and cover my head, then that's not a strength. A strength, according to Marcus Buckingham, is anything that makes you feel strong, something you do that makes you feel strong. So for me, public speaking is a strength. When I'm done, I may be physically tired, but at the end of it, I feel like $1 million because I added value to someone else. So Buckingham would say that's a strength for Matt Keller. So I would, you know, encourage your listeners, you know, man, dig into some of Marcus Buckingham stuff, his strengths finder stuff. It will help you if you're employed, if you're a family person, if you're a student in a university or high school or middle school setting. Anybody listening today, Marcus Buckingham is brilliant on a lot of that stuff.
You'll find some links to that in Matt Keller's new book, The Key to Everything. And this is a great resource as well. And we're going to unpack a few more of the maybe some of the inhibitors, some of the roadblocks to teachability. We're talking about The Key to Everything, Unlocking the Secret to Why Some People Succeed and Others Don't. Matt Keller is the pastor and the founder of Next Level Church, one of the fastest growing churches in America. It's located in Fort Myers, Florida. And he also leads NextLevelCoaching.tv. It's an organization for pastors and church leaders. And AdvancedLeadership.tv. It's a coaching organization that adds value to business leaders. And we're going to hear more about The Key to Everything. By the way, we've got some copies that we're going to give away as well. And so we'd love to have you sign up for this. This would be a great resource for you. Or maybe there's someone in your life that is just struggling to find their way. This may be one of the ways to really unlock some opportunity for them. So give us a call. Sign up for the books at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Or you can connect with us online, myfaithradio.com. Go to the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link right there. And you may have a question, even just as our conversation's gotten underway, some things that have sparked your attention. Give us a call. Join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH. More with Matt Keller in a moment. That, recognize that as truth. You know, God promises that we can experience life to the full if we are plugged into Jesus as our source. And we're learning that the key to everything has a very important spiritual component. And we're going to get into that because the book we're referencing, The Key to Everything, actually is in some ways kind of a Bible study, where it's taken a couple of stories, an Old Testament story and a New Testament story, to draw some wonderful lessons as we learn to unlock the secret to why some people succeed and others don't. Talking with Matt Keller, pastor of Next Level Church in Fort Myers, Florida. He's an author, a speaker, and a leadership coach. And talking about his new book, we've got some copies to give away, and you can sign up for that. Before we maybe kind of dive into some of the specifics in the book, I'm just wondering, does teachability remain static, or does it change maybe over the seasons?
Well, that's a great question. I think, honestly, it depends. I think it depends on somebody, you know, their willingness, their desire to learn, their willingness to change. And so I think you and I could look across the landscape of our friendships or relationships, our peers, our work, you know, workplace, you know, colleagues. And for some people, the older they get, the more mature they get, the further they go in their career, in their family, or in their relationships, the more stagnant their teachability becomes. And they start to have what I call in the book, you know, the curse of knowledge, where they look on and they go, yeah, well, you know, I this is just how I am. And I've seen it all before and I've learned it. For those people, I think teachability is something that becomes stagnant for them. And then we see other people who, like my wife's grandfather named Jim, who comes and visits us, who is in his mid-80s now. And the guy has an insatiable desire to learn and grow. He just wants to learn something new every day and is so teachable, one of the most teachable guys I know. And he's in his mid-80s. So honestly, I think it's case-specific.
Well, and I was just thinking about your grandfather. I mean, there's something about being around people that are interested in learning, too, isn't it? I mean, maybe that motivates me. Maybe that doesn't everybody. But there's something, there's some characteristics, I guess, there that are pretty attractive.
Oh, without a doubt. And matter of fact, the second part of the book, Neil, is where I really dig in and talk about the characteristics of the most teachable people in the world. That's kind of how I frame it up. And as you mentioned, I use two stories from the Bible, one in part one and the second one in part two. I reference the Apostle Paul and basically, you know, use him as a case study, if you will, to say, what does it look like? If teachability is the key to everything and becoming more successful in our life, and reaching what you and I would say is our God-given potential, then what do the most teachable people in the world look like? And so I scoured history as well as the pages of Scripture and said, here are five characteristics. And I suppose they're not all of the characteristics, but the five most prominent characteristics that the most teachable people in the world possess. And then the challenge of part two of the book is, why don't we spend some time dissecting those characteristics and figure out what those are? Because if teachability is the key to everything, then we're going to want to emulate those characteristics.
Well, we'll throw that out there as a tease and come back in a few minutes and talk about those five characteristics and a little bit more about the life of the Apostle Paul. But you start out the book talking about some of the inhibitors or some of the roadblocks to teachability, and you use an Old Testament character. So let's start there and review some of those.
Sure. Well, you know, again, in writing the book, what I discovered is we can have all kinds of desire to learn and willingness to change, but every once in a while, every so often in our quest to develop a lifestyle of teachability, we run into what I call in the book roadblocks. And so the whole first part of the book is about identifying the five roadblocks that keep us from living a lifestyle of teachability. And the Bible character that we use as a case study in part one is the Old Testament King Saul. So in part two, it's the Apostle Paul. In part one, it's Old Testament Saul. And, you know, Old Testament Saul really is, he was the first king of Israel. He was a man's man. He, you know, built like a linebacker. Like, if anybody by the world standards had the ability and was set up to succeed and reach his full potential in life, it was Saul. And yet, when we study his life in the book of 1 Samuel, what we discover is he ends up becoming nothing more than a bad example for us. And when you start to ask the question why, you realize it's because he lost his teachability. And so in the life of Saul and in so many others, we find these five roadblocks, things like pride, things like fear, insecurity, pain. And then the fifth one that I talk about in chapter five is pace. An unhealthy or unsustainable pace to our life is a roadblock to teachability to our life.
We'll develop those a bit more as we go on throughout the program, but let's go back to talking about pride, because one of the things that you address is you know, in Saul's case, he thought his position entitled him to do whatever he wanted. I mean, entitlement is kind of a big issue in today's culture, it seems like.
You know, it is, and the truth is pride and entitlement, you know, really are roadblocks or enemies that can shut down teachability in our life. Because the minute I start to think that I'm entitled to something, I use the word presumption in the chapter, you know, the minute I start to presume, well, because I'm the leader, well, because I'm the husband, well, because I'm the oldest, because I'm the parent, you know, whatever, because I'm the boss, whenever we start to take a presumptuous attitude, that's an indicator to us that pride has crept in, and pride will threaten our teachability like crazy because it pushes us away from people that could help us and teach us something, instead of dropping the roadblock of pride and allowing our heart and our mind to be open to learn from those who could teach us something that will help us in our life.
Of course, if we remember the story, you know, that Saul didn't wait for the prophet to come to offer sacrifices. He kind of took care of things himself, which seems like it's another issue, right? I don't have to listen to the, I think you call it the voice of authority. You know, are there exceptions, though, for, you know, is that kind of a general rule that we always need to be listening and waiting? I mean, because sometimes delay can be a trap, too, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, for me, in terms of making big decisions in my life, I just really believe that the Bible's pretty clear that we need to seek wise counsel. You know, if you're the only person in the room who thinks this is a good idea, it might not be as good of an idea as you think it is. And oftentimes, you know, our pride as leaders, especially in the marketplace or in the church world, our pride can and ego can lead us to go, I'm not going to listen. I don't care. It's my way or the highway. And so, you know, that really is the caution of the roadblock of pride, is being able to see that for what it is and say, you know what? I just really, truly believe that in the multitude of counselors, the Bible says there's great wisdom. And I just think that's true.
Talking to Matt Keller today about his book, The Key to Everything, Unlocking the Secret to Why Some People Succeed and Others Don't. A couple of listeners have asked some questions. Susan in Wahpeton wants to know, in regards to being teachable and success, how do you define success? Is there one way to define it, or are there multiple definitions?
Sure, that's a good question, Susan. And I would say there are multiple definitions. And so, you know, I would ask listeners not to get super hung up on the word success, except for me to say this, we all want to be successful. Again, however we define that, I want to have a successful marriage. I want to be a successful father to my two sons. I want to be successful in my ministry and in my, you know, leadership coaching and the other, you know, organizations I run. So I would say success is, however you want to define that. For me, in the most simple term, I want to be better. Like, I want to get better. I want to, and then let me say it even this way. I think success ultimately for us, and certainly for those of us in the faith community, is faithfulness to do what God called us to do. And here's how I refer to it repeatedly in the book: reaching our full potential, our full God-given potential. I think the person who's living up to their full God-given potential, that person is the most successful.
Which leads nicely into Jeff's question. Jeff's listening in Sioux Falls on Faith 1270 about, you know, how we look at our lives. Jeff, you're on with Matt Keller. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Fascinating discussion. My question is, and it kind of ties into what the first lady's question was that you just read. You know, most people are average people, I throw myself in that category. People are plumbers, they're carpenters, they just live day to day. They're not leaders in a classic sense of the word. They're not Saul. They're not in a lofted position. You know, so I have questions about this idea of leadership when, in fact, maybe we should be teaching how to be better followers a little more often. And how do average, which is most people, fit into this discussion? Thank you.
Good question.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Jeff. I think in terms of followership, I agree with you. I think, you know, the best leaders in the world are those who are followers of Jesus. You know, I just really, truly believe that. And I think, you know, to the extent that we're willing to follow and surrender our lives to Christ is the extent that we can reach our full potential. In terms of leadership, in the traditional sense, I agree with you. You know, okay, not everybody, quote, sees themselves as a leader. But I love the definition that John Maxwell gives concerning leadership, and that is, it's influence. Nothing more, nothing less. And so I would say whether someone is a plumber, a school teacher, a stay-at-home mom, or a husband, the truth of the matter is every one of us are influencing someone else somewhere. When you go through the drive-thru, how you treat and talk to the person who's taking your order, they are under your influence. And so I would love to, you know, to broaden the concept of leadership to say every one of us are a leader because every one of us have influence. And so in the areas, in the moments where we have influence in our life, those are the areas where I say we have the ability to be successful. We have the ability to make a positive difference in someone's life. That's a great, great thought.
Yeah. Matt Keller is my guest. The book is called The Key to Everything, Unlocking the Secret to Why Some People Succeed and Others Don't. And for the past couple decades, a pastor and leadership consultant, Matt Keller, has been working with hundreds of influencers, as he says, and he's learned that the greatest enhancer or the greatest limiter to a person's success is whether someone is teachable. And we're going to talk more about that in the moments ahead. The new book is just out. It's from Thomas Nelson, Nelson Books. We've got some copies to give away. We'll do the drawing here at the end of the hour. Whenever we get resources, we're always glad to pass them on to you, and hopefully it will stimulate some encouragement in your life and your growth as well. Whatever area you're looking for, you can sign up for the book at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. And if you have a question as well, you can join us with your questions or your comments. We always love to have you interact with us. We'll talk more with Matt in just a moment. Matt pastors Next Level Church. It's one of the fastest growing churches in America. It's a multi-site church in the Fort Myers, Florida area. And he's also written a great book called God of the Underdogs, talking about the key to everything. And there's more to come. Join us at 877-93-FAITH. Hope in front of us. You know, we all can improve. You know, if we have the desire to learn and the willingness to change, that's really the key to our conversation today. We're talking about the key to everything, summed up in one word, the word teachability. And helping us with that is Matt Keller. It's the title of his new book, The Key to Everything, Unlocking the Secret to Why Some People Succeed and Others Don't. And we welcome you to join the conversation. Sign up for a copy or two of the book as well. We've been going through some of the maybe the roadblocks, the inhibitors. Talk a little bit about pride, one of the big ones. Fear is also there. Say a word about how fear and teachability are related.
Yeah, you know, fear is a roadblock to teachability because it can cause us to withdraw. You know, when we're afraid, you know, the fear of losing control, the fear of being, you know, seen as a fake, you know, things like that. The fear of things not turning out right, the fear of making a mistake, the fear of failure. All of those types of fears really are roadblocks to teachability in our life, because they cause us to balk, to pull away, rather than leaning into scenarios that could stretch us and teach us something new in our life.
You know, along with fear, I know, and this is, I guess, more the second half of the book, but you talk about, you know, how to learn through failure. But I'm thinking, you know, fear is often maybe associated with setbacks or failures, and so we feel maybe we're justified, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, fear can rob us of our confidence. And it really takes, you know, us pushing past insecurity, pushing past those fears and that lack of confidence to say, you know what, God wants me to become more. God has more for me, and I need to step into that. And so that's why, you know, fear can keep us from living a lifestyle of teachability.
You know, as we talked about some of those key roadblocks, and using King Saul's example, and pride is the first one. Well, the opposite of pride, I guess, would be is it humility. But so talk about do we need to feel or admit that maybe we're incapable or maybe even unworthy? I mean, how do we wrestle humility into the conversation?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, yes, if the opposite of pride is humility, then you know, we've got to build in the characteristic of humility into our lives in order to become more teachable and in order to, you know, become more and get better in our life and become more successful. And so humility is a big deal. How do we build that in? I mean, I think some of it starts with not taking ourselves too seriously at times. Sometimes I think we can, you know, psych ourselves out of some pretty great opportunities. Some of it, I think, in terms of humility is seeing ourselves accurately as a son or daughter of God. I think those, you know, those are components that really matter to the humility conversation.
Are these, as you talk about these characteristics and principles, are these some that you have kind of worked through and seen success in some areas and then sort of failure in others and realize that, you know, maybe I'm teachable in one area but not another? I mean, does that happen? You can be sort of open in some areas but not in others?
Oh, without a doubt, yes. That's a great point, you know, that throughout our lives, I think, from season to season, from year to year, if you will, from area to area, I think our teachability can vary. So someone may be extremely teachable at work, and, you know, if they take a new job and they're sitting under a new boss or they just join a company that they've always dreamed to work for, well, their teachability might be sky high. Their desire to learn and their willingness to change, you know, and get better is sky high at work. But then they go home to their spouse that they've been married to for 27 years, and teachability can go down quite a bit at that point at home, you know, and all of a sudden they find themselves, you know, going, I don't want to change that. And I don't, you know, heaven forbid my spouse would ever, you know, help me, you know, have some suggestion as to how I could be better when we're at parties or in public, or how I could do better to serve her or serve our family better. You know, so I think it depends on area to area and season to season. Again, you can feel like you got it knocked out of the park in some area of your life for an extended season. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the season changes and you go, oh, wow, like I'm going to have to up my teachability again in order to be successful at this new level or at this new opportunity.
One of the areas you address, you're talking roadblocks to teachability. I think you mentioned pride, fear, insecurity, pain. But the other one you mentioned is pace. And I wrote down the note. You talked about teachability growing in the margins. Say a word about pace and where teachability grows best.
Sure. Well, what's interesting when I teach these, and I've been teaching these, of course, for several years, you know, is every time I talk about the roadblocks of teachability, pride and fear and insecurity and pain, you know, those are kind of real gritty, like deep sort of, you know, tough to chew on topics of like, you know, pride and fear, right? But then I get to this pace thing, an unhealthy or unsustainable pace, and everybody kind of looks at me the same and goes, what? Do you mean that my calendar is too full and somehow that can hold me back in my life? And, you know, it certainly can be a roadblock to teachability. And the answer is yes, absolutely. And the quote that you're referring to is the one that I actually took from my wife and put in that chapter on an unsustainable or unhealthy pace as a roadblock. And that is that everything, you know, good in our life grows in the margins of our life. And so when you and I get moving too fast through life, sure enough, inevitably, it's the margins of our life that start to shrink. And when the margins go down, sure enough, teachability goes down with it. Here's how I like to say it. When the pace of my life goes up, my teachability always goes down. A great illustration of that is a while back when I was writing the book a year or so ago, I was driving around Southwest Florida in the summer. And, of course, it's rainy season down here, which basically means from about 3 to 4:30 every day it's going to rain. Well, I had some running around, some errands to do, so I jumped in my car, and I was listening to a leadership podcast on my phone. And so I noticed something interesting. When I jumped in the car, back out of my driveway, and started to drive down my road, I realized, you know, it's pouring, just raining cats and dogs. And what I realized was it's impossible for me to white-knuckle, you know, hold on to the steering wheel and focus on driving my car for the next half mile and pay attention to what I'm trying to learn from the leadership podcast at the same time. I can't do both at the same time, try and survive because of my pace and try and grow and learn something new at the same time. And so that's a great illustration of how our pace and the busyness and hecticness of our life can actually be a hindrance to our getting better in our life.
Well, that maybe gives us an opportunity to transition into the second half of your book where you talk about the characteristics of teachability. And as we kind of mentioned before, teased it out, you look at the Apostle Paul's example. Why don't we just review some of those characteristics?
Yeah, well, again, what I did is I kind of looked across history and then, of course, the Bible as well and said, what are the characteristics of what you and I, you know, people that you and I would refer to as the most teachable people in the world? Like, oh, that guy is so teachable, or oh, my goodness, she's so teachable. And I started to realize that there are five primary characteristics: an insatiable desire to learn and grow, an appropriate view of success, that teachable people, highly teachable people, know how to handle success successfully. And then on the other side of that, a flexible approach or you know, to how to, they know how to handle failure as a third one. Then the last two are an openness to feedback and a flexible approach to life. In other words, they're flexible. They don't let big changes throw them and send them over the edge. They're able to adapt and be flexible in their life. Those are the five primary characteristics of some highly teachable people.
And, you know, give us maybe one or two from the life of the Apostle Paul to kind of help us next time we read, you know, his reading in the New Testament and we come across maybe that passage, help us to sort of ground it in a little bit more.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. I mean, I think about the success thing. I mean, here's a guy who, as he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Like, I'm not sure you can get more successful than that. Like, are you kidding me? Like, the guy is still influencing gazillions of people today with his writings that he wrote, you know, in the pages of Scripture. And yet, Paul himself wrote, you know, I am the chief of sinners. Like, I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. And, you know, he says, I treat all of my successes, even, you know, pre-Christ successes and accolades and trophies and, you know, awards that they wanted to give me and titles. I treat all of those things, he says, as dung, as manure in light of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so here's a guy who understood, even though I'm successful, I'm not going to allow my success to hold me back from being teachable and becoming more like Jesus.
Because we probably all know maybe a person or two comes to mind who has become successful, and it seems like they are no longer teachable.
Exactly. And that's the trick of success, because it's kind of a paradox, because the more teachable you are, the more success, however you define that, will come your way. But then the more success that comes your way, it threatens you to stop being as teachable as you were to become successful. So it's kind of this vicious cycle, you know, that, and we all can think of people who did that they were teachable, they were humble, they were, you know, had such a desire to learn and willingness to change. And then all of a sudden, a few accolades came their way and a couple promotions and a couple pay raises. All of a sudden, they got some success under their belt. And sure enough, you look up in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years and you go, that person's lost their teachability. And I would dare to say that what they've also lost is their ability to get better and proceed and continue to live at their full potential that God created them for.
So is it a matter of being open to feedback, which is, you know, what you address one of those five characteristics as well? Will that counteract that maybe that tendency of pride in success?
Yeah, without a doubt. In Chapter 7, where I talk about success, you know, I give kind of three ideas right at the end of the chapter of how we maintain, you know, how we don't let success, you know, sabotage our teachability. And, you know, one of the things I talk about in there is moving from me to we. You know, the idea of a lot of times when we see success in or experience success in our life, you know, our human nature is to take all the credit. But the more we can kind of give that credit away and recognize that there's no such thing as a self-made man or woman, that, you know, we owe our success to others. And it's always a we game. It's never a me game. So I talk about that. I talk about being generous in our success because, again, one of the other temptations when success hits our life is that we start to get inward focused and selfish until all we can see is my next thing or my next want. And so, you know, be generous. And then the third idea is recognizing that success is fragile and temporary. It's fragile and temporary. Almost all of us will be completely forgotten by our world in 100 years. You know, unless we're the president of the United States or someone else who, you know, is carving a name in history, which there are very few, if you will, in each generation, 100 years from now, no one will know who we are. Now, that's bad news on one sense, and that's good news on the other sense, because that allows us to keep our success in perspective. And so no matter how successful and front page headlines our life may look today, at some point we'll move from the front page to the middle of the newspaper to the back page news. And so keeping our success in terms of proper perspective is so important in handling our success well.
You know, it gives us an opportunity to talk about maybe someone who doesn't really seem to be successful. Susie in Brooklyn Park says her son admits that he's stuck in his personal and professional life. In addition to giving him this book, how would you suggest that I continue the conversation with him? So someone who feels like, you know, success is just, you know, out of reach, I'm stuck. What's the opposite of success? I guess it's, is there a place for them to grow and learn as well?
Absolutely, man. I love that question. And I appreciate, yes, giving them the book. Without a doubt, I think it'll be a very, a huge help to your son. And then I would sit down and I would start with the roadblocks and I'd say, let's talk about it. You know, let's talk about why you feel stuck. Let's talk about, is it a pride issue? Is it a fear issue? You know, and I would just kind of dig through those things and really, you know, dig into some of those roadblocks and get gut level honest with it. What is it that's keeping me back from, you know, being as teachable as I possibly can be? You know, I would venture to say there's probably some fears. And because we all got them, we all have fears of, you know, fear of failure, fear of stepping out and taking a risk and being seen as an imposter or being seen as a failure, as a fake, you know. So dig into some of those. If I were you, as a concerned, loving parent who wants to see their, you know, their son take their next step and kind of move into the next chapter and phase and level of their life, I would sit down and I'd start saying, what's going on? You know, let's talk about, in the book, I talk about digging into the five whys. That's in the pain chapter, chapter four. That I think Toyota was famous for, you know, inventing this idea of keep digging. What are the five whys? You know, why do you feel that way? Why do you feel that way? Well, why do you think that's true? Keep digging down to the very last one until you realize it's actually because of this. And whatever this is, that's the root issue. That's the belief that's driving behavior that's bringing the outcomes that someone is experiencing in their life.
Coming up in a moment, we'll talk more with Matt Keller, and we'll talk about maybe a valuable strategy of just spending some time with someone who is successful or someone that you look up to that could mentor you and asking the right questions. We'll find out more about that as we learn more about teachability. This is The Key to Everything is the title of the book, Unlocking the Secret to Why Some People Succeed and Others Don't, written by Matt Keller, who is founder and leader of Next Level Church, one of the fastest-growing churches in America. It's located in Fort Myers, Florida area. And also Matt leads nextlevelcoaching.tv and also advancedleadership.tv. And you can find information about those at those appropriate websites as well. And we'll also do a link on our website as well, myfaithradio.com. If you want to send us a note via the website, you can go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. You can send us your question or your comment, or you give us a call, 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Got a couple copies of Matt's book to give away. We'll do that at the end of the hour in a drawing. So sign up for that and encourage yourself and maybe someone else as well. Stay tuned for more. Follow is a part of what it means to be teachable, right? We have the desire to learn times the willingness to change, and we can see great things happen. In fact, we can unlock the secret to why some people succeed and others don't. When we know the key to everything, which we've summed up in the one word, teachability. Matt Keller has written the new book. He wrote God of the Underdogs here a couple of years ago. Matt teaches. He's the founder and lead pastor at the Next Level Church in Fort Myers, and does a lot of consulting with the business leaders and the churches and ministries to help us be all that God intended us for to be. And one of the things that you address in the book, and I thought we should talk about, is you talk about finding distant mentors. Say a word about what that means.
Well, I'm a big proponent of mentorship. I just think that our future lies in the mentors that we surround ourselves with. And the truth of the matter is, you and I, 5 years from now, will become the sum total of two things. And this is Spencer Johnson who said this a long time ago as an author. I think of the book Who Moved My Cheese, like I think he was that guy. He basically said, we will be the sum total of the books we read, or I would broaden that today to say the inputs we have and the relationships we keep. And so I think every person needs to have, you know, three types of people in their life. They need to have some people that they're pouring into. Maybe you have some friends or peers who are kind of at their same place in life or season of life or station of life. And then we all need mentors. We need people who are ahead of us. And so when I use the phrase distant mentors in the book, what I'm referring to, Neil, are people who maybe we've never met in person before. Maybe we've seen them in person at a conference or something. But these are influencers who think the way we wish we thought more. Like they are where we want to go. They've lived our tomorrow, if you will. And so for me, for example, a distant mentor for me for over 15 years has been John Maxwell, who is a leadership expert and coach and author and speaker, former pastor. And so, you know, John has been one of the primary distant mentor type voices for me. Now, I've since, you know, over the last few years gotten to know John a little bit and have lunch with him and connect with him and so forth. But for the longest time, John was nothing more than a distant mentor. And so I just would just encourage any listeners out there who want to develop a lifestyle of teachability to begin to look up and say, you know, over the next 6 to 12 months, let's say, who are two or three voices of influence that I could learn from, that I could be intentional to purchase a few of their books and go through those and listen to some podcasts that they've been interviewed on, and maybe attend a conference or two that that person's speaking at. Because those distant mentors, the more we allow those inputs to flow into our life, the more we'll start to think and adopt that person's worldview, which means we get better.
You also talk about the art of asking great questions, and you suggest, you know, if we could spend an hour with a notable someone, what should we want to try and accomplish? And just say more about that. That might be a new idea to someone to actually make their way to somebody's somebody that they'd really like to spend an hour with.
Yeah, absolutely. Chapter 12, quite honestly, is one of my favorites in the whole book, Learning the Art of Asking Great Questions. I love to ask questions. I feel like I have learned the art of doing that pretty well. And so one of the things I say right at the beginning is, you know, question tip number one, if I could spend an hour with someone, what would I ask them? I recommend that every single person who wants to develop a lifestyle of teachability, that they actually create a list of people that if they could spend an hour with someone, who would they want to spend their hour with? And then start to work through and think through some of the questions you'd ask that person. Maybe you'll never get a chance to, but maybe, just maybe, you will. And I think those people on the list should be some people who are far off and distant, like Taylor Swift or an ex-president or an NFL player, a movie star, or a Bible hero or something, you know. I think those can be far off people, but I also think there can be some near people. Boy, if I could spend an hour with someone who owns their own business, you know, someone who started their own restaurant, someone who has a college doctorate, you know, what would be the questions I would ask them? Someone who, whatever your place in life is, you know, what would I ask those people? And here's why I think this is such a powerful exercise, Neil, is because when we give our mind permission to start thinking through who I would want to spend an hour with and the questions I would want to ask them, what happens is we start expanding our mind. And so now the next time we see that person or hear that person interviewed, our mind will automatically start to pick up different things, different ideas that we never saw before, simply because we opened up the thought a long time ago about the question we would ask that person if we came in contact with them. So it's kind of a cool little thing that actually will increase our teachability in our life without us even knowing it.
Which probably gets us to a conversation about feedback that, you know, sometimes that we get it, it's uninvited, but other times we probably need to be asking, because in essence, that's kind of what we're asking for, isn't it?
Absolutely right. The essence of teachability is, you know, is being willing to get feedback around from those around us, people who are, you know, maybe some voices. I mentioned that in Chapter 8 when I talk about an openness to feedback. You know, there are some people you may not like the way they delivered it, but it doesn't mean that you don't need to hear it. I use the, you know, the kind of the funny anecdote of the pizza delivery guy who hasn't showered in a week. You can hear his car coming from a mile and a half down the road. But the pizza he delivers sure is, you know, nice and hot, and you love it. And it's like, don't just judge, don't write off someone's feedback to your life simply because you don't like the way they delivered it. Forget about the way they delivered it and just receive it for what it is if you feel like it can help you be better in some area of your life.
Jennifer, listening in Fargo, Faith 1200, says, what about some people who are born gifted in certain areas that are being groomed for success, and yet they resist it? Someone who may have fallen short of the giftedness that God gave them. So maybe just our time is running out here, but maybe an encouragement for someone who's you know, not living up to the potential or maybe holding themselves back.
That's a great question. I would say, you know, that's that willingness to change. And a wise mentor of mine told me a long time ago, Matt, one of the hardest things about being in ministry and in leadership, and so by virtue of the fact that this person is asking about a friend, I would say, he said, is knowing what's right for someone. In other words, being able to see their potential and watching them not live up to it. That's hands down one of the hardest things about our relationships, about ministry, about leadership, about influence, is looking on and going, my goodness, that person has so much talent, so much giftedness, so much passion, but their willingness to change is not there. That can be one of the most difficult things for us.
Well, we also have to be self-aware too, don't we, of our tendencies and our willingness to receive feedback or to be teachable.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And that's, and you know, right. I mean, we can pray for that person and, you know, definitely encourage them however we can. But even more than that, what we can control, we can't control them, but we can control ourselves. And we can control and say, God, help me to be as teachable as I possibly can so that I don't waste 1 ounce of my potential that you've given me.
Has this made a difference, you know, as you work in your churches and as you work with other churches? I mean, do you see it sort of spreading in multiplying influence when more than one person sort of gets the idea of teachability?
Absolutely. That's why I recommend people to not just go through the book by themselves, but to go through it with a small group, you know, go through it with a team at work. You know, I love it when people order 6 or 10 or 12, you know, copies of the book and they say, I'm going to give one to everyone in my office, or everyone in my department, or everyone in my small group at church, because I think the book is best absorbed that way. And here's why, because our vulnerability and teachability will increase other people's teachability around us. I think teachability at its core is contagious. And so one of the best ways to go through the book is go through it as a family, you know, buy a few copies for your kids and put a gift card to, you know, their favorite store in the back. I don't know. Do whatever you got to do to take your family through it, your coworkers through it, your leadership team through it. Because I think the way to get the most value out of a book like The Key to Everything is to go through it as a team, because teachability begets teachability.
Well, certainly as followers of Christ, I mean, we should exhibit this first and foremost. And as you said, it is contagious that we winsomely invite others to experience growth, spiritual growth, and a new life in Christ. We're talking with Matt Keller, who is the founding pastor and the leader of Next Level Church. It's in Fort Myers, Florida. He's also written God of the Underdogs. This is the new book, just came out, The Key to Everything. It's unlocking the secret to why some people succeed and others don't. Matt, great to spend some time with you. Thanks for encouraging us today and maybe setting out the challenge, and we look forward to hearing more from you in the days ahead.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Matt Keller joining us today. You can find out more at nextlevelcoaching.tv, one of the websites, and we'll link it on our website as well at myfaithradio.com.